Man, and all through the Bible, you see powerful things happen with two or three people. That's all it takes. And Jesus said this, where two or three are gathered together in my name for my purposes, there am I. I'm right there with them. What do you think he's doing, just sitting and watching? No, he wants to bless somebody. He wants to empower somebody tonight. He wants to deliver somebody. He wants to encourage somebody. And I'm telling you, just as good as anybody on this planet. Can I have an amen for the truth? That's the absolute truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to read 5 verses there. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And these are places that we read all the time. And the whole idea is this here. Look, I've only got so many places that I can go in the Bible. I've only got 66 books that I can preach out of. And you're going to hear things again and again. And you know what? One of the greatest forms of teaching is repetition. Repetition. Help people to get. My constant theme is, hey, get to know God. And don't think that anybody can know him better than you. See, when I got saved, I didn't have anybody to put boxes in, put me in a box. I just felt like this here. I purposed in my heart, I was going to know the Word of God better than anybody in my circle, because you know why? I wasn't going to depend on anybody but me to know God. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place for the ministry. Of course there is. And I've known some good ones. I've had some good ministers in my life, men and women, okay? But if you've got that hunger, and people lose that hunger when they get discouraged, and sometimes their discouragement comes from the church. And we try not to be discouraging here. We're telling you, you're good enough. All you people that come, it's amazing. I said, as I pulled into the parking lot here, to Johnny Gilbert and to your brother Thomas, I said, man, look at all the people here to help today. It's amazing. You know, we don't ask people. We don't say, well, you're going to have to go to our church if you want to help. We don't say that. And all this food, there's never been a parcel of a little bit of food. We've never said, well, you got to come to church. We just give it to people like Jesus did. You know what? Let God and them sort it out. Amen? And it's so good to have you here. And one of the newest people, is that woman's name Lisa? What is that woman? Sherry? I love you, Sherry. Are you getting excited? You're starting to get excited, hungry. You say to yourself, I didn't know it could be like this. Amen? This is real. We've been doing this for years. Hallelujah. Bernie and Thelma, all of you folks that's been here the longest and the ones that just come, we love you. And God bless you. And thank you for lending me your ear. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. And I've read many, many times in my life. And this is Paul talking to Timothy, and he says this, "This know also, that in the last days," I believe we're in the last days. Does anybody feel like that? I tell you, the more you know about what the Bible says and what end time events are, hey, you're going to believe that we're in the last days. I've never seen so much in one short little old, my little old short miserly life. Born October the 24th, 1951. I'm 72 years old. This year I'll be 73. I've seen the world change. And that's not a compliment. What it is an identification with what this Bible says about it. Let God be true and every man a liar. But I'll tell you what, heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of this book will never pass away. These are the words of eternal life. The word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And if you let it get inside of you, you know what it'll do? It'll take your heart, and it'll show you what part of your heart's flesh and what part of your heart's the spirit. Only the word of God can do that. Hallelujah. Man, I was thrilled to see so many people come up here and say, I can feel the Holy Ghost right now. Well, see, those are the ones we want to send to get everybody. I want everybody in here to feel the Holy Ghost. I'm not a 99 guy. I'm a 100%er. I want everybody to feel. I want everybody to be healed. I want everybody to be full of the excitement that salvation brings you. I want everybody to be saved. Don't you? This know also that in the last days, perilous, dangerous, awful, horrifically terrible times will come. I was sitting over at Brother Larry's house eating a couple Saturdays ago, and all of a sudden, while we're sitting there eating, they're saying, well, President Trump just got shot. A 20-year-old kid, what in the world could he have against President Trump? He had 3 encrypted phone accounts. You know how hard that is to get? I wouldn't even know how to get one. 3 of them. It was all from overseas. 20 years old. Who was he? Who? You know what? They really don't seem like they want to tell us much about who that guy was, do they? Doesn't seem like to me. Well, I don't know. I mean, my God, if I had a job, I think I'd know a little bit more about it than we're hearing. You know, they still haven't told us what happened to John F. Kennedy. So it's just a game that they play. But I'm telling you what, God wants you to know one thing about it that I can tell you for sure. We're in the last of the last days. This generation will not pass until everything is fulfilled. And Jesus Christ is going to come. And I'm not saying that to scare you by any means. I ain't scared. I'm looking forward to it. It blows my mind that here I am, man, and I can see all this stuff happening. Perilous times, dangerous times shall come. And then it doesn't say, well, there'll be earthquakes and there'll be fires and tsunami. No, it talks about men and the condition of men's heart. And if you really want to see how close we are to the end of time, you look at people. You look at what people are doing. I never thought I'd see our government like it is. I never thought I'd see it. We've got a bunch of politicians that have got in there, and that's not a compliment to be a politician. I'm looking for an American to get in there. I remember the last president we had was the first president in many, many years that didn't take a salary. He wasn't doing it for the salary. He was doing it because he loved America. I wish we had all kinds of leaders that loved America. People look at America that are politicians and they rub their hands and they say, now I'm talking plain here tonight. I don't mean to upset anybody, and you could probably get a chance to say what you think too. You might just think everything's hunky-dory. Well, and they look at America and they say, what can I take from America? And they set their families up for generations and generations and generations. They're money makers. They're looking to make money. And they don't want to be honest. None of them seem to want to. And you know what? Donald Trump ain't Jesus Christ, but he sure loves America. And I don't see that in them other ones. I hope you do. That'd be good. That's fine. I'm just one person. You don't have to believe like me. But the gist of this message, you're going to see that it's true. See, it says that dangerous, perilous, awful, horrific times will come. And it doesn't talk about the weather and the earthquakes and stuff like that. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. What's in it for me? What can I get? What can I take? Who can I take advantage of? Many years ago, as a young man, I asked God, what can I do, Father, that nobody else wants to do that would make you happy? Show me. And I just got in his word, and I saw that he wanted me to feed people and treat people like my family. See, blood's thicker than water, but spirit, make no mistake about this, spirit's thicker than everything. Your eternal family, if you're a believer, is going to be people of like faith, people that are in the faith, people that are born again. And everybody else, no matter how much you love them or whatever, if they're not born again, they're not. See, that's what Jesus said. He just got through healing the dude, brought him in through the ceiling and healed him. And then his disciples said, Lord, your mom and your brethren, they want to talk to you outside. And he said, right there in front of everybody, he said, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he said, let me tell you who they are. Those that hear and do the will of the Father. That's my true family. And really, if you're really a believer, that'll ring in your ear. If that feels indifferent to hear something like that, and my God, what's you know what? Stick around. See the way life really, really is. Okay? Because that's the way it really is. See, are they born again? That's who my eternal family is. For men shall be lovers of their own self. There will be covetousness. There will be boasters. They will be proud. They will be blasphemers. They will be disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having a form of godliness. And I say this, and I mean this, and this is the truth. God is not looking for church attenders. And God is not a 16-year-old boy hard up for a yes vote on American Idol. I can tell you that right now. God's given his best. What you going to do with it? What you going to do with Jesus? What you going to do with the claims of the Bible? That's what you've got to ask yourself. Because let me tell you, I never thought about being 72 years old. I didn't even, when I was in my 50s, I didn't even think about what it'd be like to be 72. But I'm going to tell you, for an old guy, I feel pretty good. I think I can dance as good as every other sort of 72-year-old guy. I don't know. But what makes me want to dance? Man, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Christian life, and what he wants to give us, and what he wants to do for us, and how much he loves us, and how much he's not judging anybody in this room. He's not judging anybody. We all, can I tell you something? Every cotton picking, you can say that in the South, every cotton picking person, they ain't none good. Jesus said, there ain't none good but the Father. Everybody's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? And if you fit in there, and you do, you're a candidate for the best that God has for you in this life. I got saved when I was 19. I wish I'd have got saved when I was 9. My daughter Kelly got saved when she was 7. It made a tremendous difference in her life. I remember we were on TV there in Fort Smith. Dave Verdue, forgot the name of it, with Emmett and Judy Spencer. And Dave was interviewing Kelly, and he says, well, Kelly, how old are you? She goes, I'm 7. And he goes, you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. He goes, how long have you been saved? How many years have you been saved? 7 years. She says, and you know what? I was so proud of her. I'm proud of all my kids. I wanted to do something. I wanted to make a difference. And the Lord told me, Angela, if you want to make a difference to me, then there's people all around you that I want you to bless. So I took it a little further than everybody else. I just decided I'm going to raise other people's children. Give them the best education I can. I put Evan in the academy for as many years as he wanted. That was 4 years. Was that right, Ev? 4 years. And you know what? They didn't give me a break. I wasn't looking for a break. I always wanted a boy like Evan. I love him so much. I'm so glad he's here tonight. And I just put him in the academy. Why'd you do that? Because I could. I had the power to do that. I'm not a rich man. You know what I am? I'm convinced I can do anything God tells me I can do, and I can have anything I want. Anytime I go to a store, this is the gospel truth. It's been like this for many years. I hear the Father say, son, yes, Father. You can have anything in the store that you want. You can drive any kind of car that you want. You can live in any kind of house you want. Well, I'm like Billy Graham. He just lived in this house his whole life. Well, we bought our house in June of 1986, and we're not looking for another house. We could buy another one, but we like the one we're in. Well, what's so special about it? Well, it's ours. All my memories of all my lovely children is right in there. Everything good about it. It's got enough of everything I need. It doesn't, you know what? When you got your eyes on Jesus and your heart on Jesus, I'll tell you what, some of this stuff, it's just not, I mean, dear Lord, the Word says this in the New Testament. I believe it was the Apostle Paul said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Having food and clothing and some kind of a car. Now, my little wife has got a nice car. 2 days ago, we just put brand new tires on that car. And we started the church today. And it was only 3 pounds of pressure in that one tire, brand new tire. Well, what did you do? Well, I just went back home and got my Chevy. I drove the Chevy to the levee. And the levee was dry. And them good old boys, well, that's something else. Anyhow, and you know what? We weren't late for church. Why? Because we plan. Look here. I'm in a war. We are in a war. I plan to have problems with the devil and stuff like that. These tires are better than the ones that was on there, and they're good tires. But let me tell you, if they're tires and they got air in them, you can have a flat tire. And that's what happened to us tonight. What are you going to do? Well, I'll go home. I got a little gizmo. I like gizmos. And you just put it on a tire and push a button, and it'll air that tire up to right the exact air pressure. And then I'll take it over to Brian, and I'll cry a little while, and I'll say, Brian, would you fix it? And I'll say, of course I will, Pop. Hallelujah. But the Bible in this particular place talks about the real problem. It's not the earthquakes. It's not even the fact that, you know, in the 7-year tribulation period, there's going to be 1/3 of the light of the moon and the stars and 1/3 of the light of day. I was talking with Johnny Gilbert about this today, is going to be gone. You know what that means? We ain't going to be able to grow anything. No wonder the Bible says that there'll be people, there'll be money and gold in the street, and people won't even bend over to pick it up. You know why? That's not going to be important. The Bible also says that a loaf of bread will cost a day's wages. Okay? That's coming. You can be sure of that. But what are you going to do? I'm going to trust God. I might fast a little more. And I love the Lord. And as a nation, we've gone right along with 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. People ain't like they, there's people that don't know anything about God. Their children don't. And people will hurt you and rob you. People, we have terrible things happen in this community. I don't really happen when they happen far off. I can always shut off the news. But when something happens right here, like in 2023, when we had a killing over at the Sonic, I took that personal, didn't you? Look here, there's no way to get away from that. The only thing you can do is walk in the Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit, and realize this here. I dare you to say this to God in the morning. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, because I trust you. And if this is the day that you've decided to be my last day, I'm with you. I'm totally with you, Lord, whatever you want. But if you want me to live, I'm with you, Father. All I want, you know what? You know what makes you a dangerous, blessed, joyful person? When all you want is what God wants. Now, that's taken me a long time. I'm not fully there, and some days I'm better than others. But in my better days, all I want is what God wants. Because I found whatever he wants, he's going to take pleasure in. And whatever he takes pleasure in, I take pleasure in. Oh, man, it is a taste of the Lord and see that he is good. Now, let's go to another place in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. I want you to see this concept and this word. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34 is just a very quick verse. And this is what it says. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In America, we've come to a place where That's where we are. We are a reproach. We are a joke to the rest of the world right now. It's a shame. I hate to be so blunt, but that's just the truth. People, you know what? We've got people that can't tell the truth, that are over us, that have the money, that have our money, and they never have enough. There's a spirit of greed that's taken over America. Some people just can't. They just got to have more and more. They don't even know why. If you ask them to explain it, they couldn't explain it. They just want it. It's a spirit, the spirit of greed. And there's one thing that I don't want you to have is the spirit of fear. That's not what this is about. I'm wanting you to get into what's happening right now. And the best thing that we can have is the Holy Ghost come into our church services and in our hearts and our families and try to help people around us and try not to be. I'll tell you what, I've had to work, and I still have to keep things under the blood. You know, I have a nature to want to argue with people and be contrary at times and different things, and I have to deal with that. It's called crucifying the flesh in the book of Romans chapter 8, to crucify our flesh and not live like that. I have those problems. And I don't know what anybody else has, but I know I've got those problems. And the word says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's salvation is something that needs to be worked out. It ain't, 30 years ago, I spit in my hand and chuck a preacher's hand, and now that makes me right. No, that don't make you right. No, please, don't ever say that you heard that out of this pulpit. No, you've got to live for God. You've got to let God change your life. That's the truth. That's the truth of that. Now, that's not a popular message. But you know what? It's the truth. We have to live for God. We have to be kind to people. One of the best ways to express your love for God is to love what he loves. And what he loves is everybody in this room. He loves you, and he wants you to know it, and he doesn't love you because you're perfect. He loves you because he created you, because he hopes the best for you, and he wants to give you the best that he can give you, and that's the truth. Please don't feel bad about yourself. That's not the nature of God. That's not what God's looking for, is you to feel guilty and bad about yourself. Let the Holy Spirit shine inside of you, and he'll show you things that he wants to work on and things that he ain't working on right now. He'll get to those other things. But as the scripture says here, righteousness promotes a country, but sin brings it down. It's an awful thing. And this is a nation full of sin. And you know what we love? Every kind of pleasure that there is. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having pleasures. The problem is when pleasures have you and you love them more than the right thing. You know, I'll tell you what happened, Kel. I was looking in my checkbook today, and I was making out a tithe check. I got my Social Security check. And I looked, and I did not give, it was last month in June, I don't think I gave my Social Security check tithe. And I was looking. And I heard this voice, and it said, well, nobody will know. They're doing fine. See, I knew. I knew. You know why I want to know God? I want to know him deep in my heart, where just me and God are. I want to be able to live with myself, okay? I used to say when I worked for the public, I don't want to have to back up to get my paycheck because I didn't do right. So there's two checks in there because I found it, and look, there was a voice. That's what it said. I said, well, nobody will know. I mean, they're doing fine. What's it? You know, so what? Nothing happened. You know what? I knew that wasn't the voice of the Holy Spirit, and I knew that wasn't the voice of Angelo. Who does that leave? Now, let me tell you something. If you don't think the devil can talk to you, you are sadly mistaken. If he can talk to Jesus and try to tempt Jesus, what do you think he's going to do to you? Especially that he knows his time is short. The most fearful thing to Satan right now is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he knows his time is short. The word says he knows. He knows he ain't got long to go. And I'm asking you to find Jesus in the deepest parts of your heart where only you and Jesus can be. I want you to know him there, because that's when it begins to pay off. And that me and my family, we've received so many blessings. My gosh, we're just blessed all the time, all the time. And you know what? We bless people. We just love to bless people. I'm addicted to doing that. I'm addicted to helping folks. It's wonderful, and so are many of you. And all the people, God bless everybody that comes and helps us on Monday with the food, Wednesday with the food, Friday with the food, and other days with the food. God bless, because you know what? We're all, that's who we are, and that's the kind of people we attract. People that want to love God and love other people. Remember this, the best way that you can show God that you how much you love him is find somebody that can never pay you back and bless them. Bless them somehow. Bless them with a kind word. Bless them with a smile. Give them a few minutes of your time. Buy them a barbecue beef sandwich. Something. Anything. Do something to let people know that you love them. That's the most important thing. People, you know what we have in this country? Patricia Clark, I think, sang it. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. It's the truth. The Bible says if somebody can come in your midst and they have a need, and all you do is say, well, God bless you, be warmed and filled, and send them on without helping them. That's not what we're looking. You know what? I think the worst feeling in the world, and I felt like this before, is that I didn't have anything to give. But can I tell you something? God showed me I always had something to give. And if you give unto the Lord, man, you're planting Jack and the Beanstalk type seed. It's going to grow. And it's going to expand. What for? So you have more to give the next time. And so that you can have one of the things, I had a terrible childhood. I wanted my family to at least have beautiful Christmases, and we'd have, didn't we? And at least have beautiful vacations, and we did. I just loved that. But you know what? I had to give to others first, and I had to give to God. And what he wants is me. What he wants is you. Make no mistake, God wants you. Every thought that you think, every word that you say, that's what God wants. Now we're going to go to the final place tonight. It's a place that we've gone to many times before, but maybe I can say something different about it. We've only got a few minutes, and that's all we need. I'm not complaining that we only have a few minutes. I can make my messages bigger a long time. I just like to see the Spirit move. But the last place, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, because this is what we need. And my thought was, we can make a difference. Now, what I'm saying we, I'm talking about, I'm going to break it down, you by yourself. You by yourself. Every person in this room, you can make a difference. I want you to know that. You have the power, and God will give you the power to make a difference in this life to somebody. You can do that. And don't ever think that you can't. And don't ever think that you're not special, because I'm telling you, you're special in the name of Jesus. Mm-mm-mm. And this is what 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. See, God's not dependent on the governments of this world to get his will done. He's not depending on money. See, that's all his. The silver mine. The gold is mine. The cattle on 1,000. Everything is mine. That's what God says. What God needs and what God wants is if 1,522 ifs in the King James translation of the Bible. If my people. God's not putting the future of this world to any army, government, banking institution, hospitals, doctors. It's my people, his children, not church attenders. Please, I always try to make that distinction because, like God, I'm not looking for church attenders. I'm looking for somebody that this word will get in your heart and that you'll realize that you're somebody already because God loves you and that you can do something. You see, the thing is, you could do it if you want it. You can do it if you want. You can help people if you want. Judy Spencer used to say this, ain't nobody broke in here. And this is what she said. When that offering plate goes by, you rip off one of them buttons and put it in the plate. I believe that. I believe anything that you give God. If you give him a minute, an hour, he'll take that. If you give it just to him. If you'll get to know God, oh my God, if you'll get to know him. If my people, which are called by my name, that's who he's dependent on. He's not dependent on anything else. He's not depending on the weather, because let me tell you something. The weather belongs to God. Okay? If my people, which are called by my name, will do four things, will humble themselves. Stop thinking it's always got to be your way. Stop thinking that you're even important. Just start thinking of life like this. Lord, where do I fit in? Where do you have for me to fit in? For it is written, now God has placed each member of the body in the church as it pleases him. That's what he told. That's what they told the Corinthian people. God has a church for everybody to go to and to make a hand there. You know what I like about Angel? She's almost always here. Some of you can't. But she's always here, and she can stay home. And I can look at you tonight. I don't know what made you tired, but you're a little bit weary, aren't you? But you still came. And you brought that little boy. You brought that other little boy. See, and I can say something good about everybody in this room. Will humble themselves, okay? Number one, and pray. God's looking for people that know how to pray. How do you know how to pray? You get to praying, you'll learn how to pray. You get to study and prayer in the Bible, you'll learn how to pray in Jesus' name. Prayers that'll change the world around you. If you gain one other soul, there's a prophecy that on 7/27 this year, there's going to be a shift in evangelism. And in this end times, there's going to be 1 billion souls added to the kingdom of God. When I was a child, when I was a young fella, just got married to Millie, living in Patterson, California, no kids, no ankle biters yet. And I was out by my mailbox. And all of a sudden, I had a vision, and it's a wedding invitation. And it says, you are invited to be a part of the greatest harvest this world has ever seen, Angelo. Enter into the harvest. I can feel that still. I can still see that invitation. And pray. See? And pray. And learn how to pray. How do you learn how to pray? Well, the disciples went to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray, like John the Baptist taught his disciples. And he gave them an outline for prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And seek my face. See, what are you seeking in life? What are you seeking? What are you looking for? Every day, the first thing Billy and I try to do is find where is Jesus this morning in our life. I mean that. We want him. We say words that will provoke him closer to us. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It worked for Jesus on the cross. That's why I say it every day. Because I want to be with you, Father. I just want what you want. I found myself with, you know, people have said about me, I don't eat anything without praying over it. I found in my prayers now, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this food. Bless it to my body. Let it bring me health. Let it bring me healing. Let it bring me long days, okay, and strength. And Father, as I eat food, now I'm just getting this in as I pray. Lord, make it where I do your will. I believe even the food I eat, anything that I can take it, will be turned around and I'll be doing the will of the Father. Because that's the way I want it, Father, because I love you. if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Stop calling the wickedness around you and inside of you and that you do. Start calling it what it is. I dare you to confess those things to God. Because if you do with a sincere heart, it's going to leave you. It cannot stay inside of you. That's the truth. Turn from their wicked ways. Seek my face. Humble themselves. Pray. If you'll do that, if you'll do that, it don't matter if you have any money or influence. If you'll do that, if you'll do that, you're going to have influence with the Holy Spirit. You're going to have influence with God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then I will hear from heaven. I'm going to hear from heaven. Where's he going to hear it? He's going to hear it in his heart. And I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal your life. I'm going to heal all them hurts. I'm going to heal you from the inside out. I'm going to show what it is to be really, 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 really loved. You know, I grew up without a dad. And the first time I felt like there was a dad in my life was when I asked Christ into my life. And the Heavenly Father came. And I held on to him, and I've never let him go. There's nothing I want more than to be a son, just to be a son. I'm going to ask you if you'll examine your hearts tonight. I'm not calling anybody up, say, well, how did this hit you, that hit you. I know how it hit you. It hit you the same way I delivered it. It hit you in the spirit. I'm asking you to do some business with the Lord right now. You know, we're going to take communion. We're going to get some nice food, and we're going to go home. Hallelujah. Give us some communion searching music. The Lord saying to more than one person in this room, I've been waiting. I've been waiting. Son, I've been waiting, daughter. I've been waiting for you to give me the chance that you've given to others. I'm waiting for you to just give me a half a chance. And then I want your whole heart. I've been waiting for you to give me that chance that you've gave to others, and others have let you down. And God makes you a promise tonight, I will not let you down. I will not let you down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believe that, Sherry? I know you do, hon. I know you do. You got a good heart. Kids, go and deliver this to everybody that wants it. Hallelujah. Go ahead. So one of you take that side. One of you take this side. Hallelujah. Thank you, hon. My soul does magnify the Lord. My spirit does rejoice in God my Savior, for he that is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name. Hallelujah. This bread represents the body of Christ. This